Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Stalker Josh Shapiro. I don't know if the campaign has filed a restraining order against him yet, but they probably should. He's trying so hard. He's got another little video we put out today, trying to appeal to Kamala Harris. Call me. It's just desperate. It really is. It's the guy does not play hard to get in the least. It is not. Oof. It is just not working for him. But she may pick him. I don't know. She's got a rally schedule in Philly next week. And the idea is that if she picks the Pennsylvania governor, that would be a great way to go surprise right here in Philadelphia. But it's not like people have to travel by stagecoach. I mean, if she picks another candidate, they can still get to Philly. They may not want to come, but they can still get there. So I don't know. Will it be Josh Shapiro? I don't know. Who knows? I mean, there's a major question regarding his handling of a sexual assault allegation against a former aide of his. And the woman has a non-disclosure agreement. She's not allowed to speak about it. Today, I got to play this audio for you of Gretchen Carlson, formerly of Fox News, who went off on this and said, you know, they need to allow this woman to speak right now, right this second. So I'll share that with you as the show goes on today. Plus, it turns out that Josh Shapiro's record on Israel and on Netanyahu in particular, I don't know, man. I don't know if this helps him in any way. I'll share that with you, too. But he was incredibly critical, more critical of Israel than Biden or Harris, even calling Netanyahu one of the worst leaders of all time. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't know. I have my doubts. But then again, the thinking is that if you can, we don't have a national election. You know, I've said this before. We have 50 elections that all happen relatively at the same time. Theoretically, it's election day. But of course, we all know that it's election season now. But you get the point. And you have to win 6 or 7 of those states. You don't have to win all 6 or 7. You got to win 3-ish, but that's where the battle comes down. Like, we're not really wondering how California is going to go, New Jersey, New York, Texas, kind of all decided. But those 6-7 states, The thinking is Josh Shapiro outperformed Joe Biden in 2020 because I guess he didn't have to cheat as much. And so does he help bring Pennsylvania home for Kamala Harris? And then if that's the case, then there's the ball game. Is that worth it then putting him on the ticket? So we'll talk about that as the show progresses throughout the afternoon. Now, you're about to hear Donald Trump's going to get a lot of blowback on a comment he made about Kamala Harris and the question of whether or not she's actually black. And this happened literally moments ago. I was just watching this. I was getting ready for the show. I had Fox News on in the background. They cut into this and I started to watch this and I said, OK, well, this is going to drive the outrage cycle. No question about it. Because of the comment he made regarding Kamala Harris's ethnicity. So I'll share that with you in just a second. The big story of the hour, though, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Let me start with this. The interview, there were three journalists on the stage. ABC's Rachel Scott opened the interview during this National Association of Black Journalists conference, essentially by calling him a racist for criticizing black politicians and journalists. And it did not go well for her. I think, you know, this is, I mean, it's classic Trump. Let me play it, get your reaction to it. You can call the show, 855-839-1210. You can tweet along, of course, at Rich Zeoli or X along, whatever you want to call it. But let's start there, shall we? Take a listen.
You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabbit to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner. First question, you don't even say hello, how are you, are you with ABC, because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country, including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and, you know, and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money, they were stone cold broke, and I saved them, and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love
I think
you
it's
can
a very nasty question.
And why
I,
you believe
I have answered
black
the question.
Trust you with another
I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better
That's
than,
my answer.
Better than President Johnson, who signed
answer.
The Voting Rights Act.
And for you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work, in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
That's how it started. And I agree, your question was totally rude, totally offline, and absolutely just beginning with a very hostile moment. And that's what she was trying to do. I mean, clearly her agenda was to begin this in the most hostile manner so it would go viral. And, well, you know, she mission accomplished because it's going viral as we speak right now. But, yeah, you start the interview by going, you're a racist. Why should black people trust you? I mean, it's a horrible thing to say. And I'm glad Trump brought up the historically black colleges. He should have also got into criminal justice reform a little bit more because his record on that is simply unmatched, especially when you contrast that with Kamala Harris's record of putting black people in jail. Like, that's a great contrast right there. And I think the campaign needs to focus on that a little bit more. Trump did the First Step Act, which was historic criminal justice reform. And it was I mean, at the time, he was battling conservatives over it, who were saying that this was not a good thing. But it was. It was a great thing because he was people who had served their sentences much longer than a sentence should have ever been implied, because it was all part of that Clinton crime bill in the 1990s, where you had these disproportionate sentencing that was put in place, where black people were getting sent to prison longer because of the kind of drugs they had. And Trump was fixing that. He was correcting that. And he had celebrities working with him on that. He had the Kardashians working with him. It was a big deal. It really was a big deal. And he did criminal justice reform. Contrast that with Kamala Harris, who was putting black men in jail for low-level pot offenses. And it wasn't as if Kamala Harris really cared about what she was doing. It's just that at the time, that seemed to be the right political move. Because for Kamala Harris, everything she does is about politics. Woman doesn't have a spine. So at the time, that seemed to be the right move. Then all of a sudden, the nation shifted in its thinking about pot crimes. And suddenly, she had a very different tune. So you see, I want to be careful. There's a lot of people out there saying she's a George Soros prosecutor. She's a woke George Soros-funded prosecutor. And that's not exactly the entire story. So I want to be real careful here. I think the better attack point on Kamala Harris, if you ask me, especially since we are trying right now to win black votes, go after her record as a prosecutor. She was ruthless in going after people of color, ruthless for low-level drug crimes, something Tulsi Gabbard called her out about in the 2020 Democrat presidential debate. Meanwhile, Trump did criminal justice reform, and he also enabled people who would serve their sentences when they got out of jail to be able to have a life and get a job and turn their life around and become a productive member of society. That's a great contrast point right there. The historically black college funding, again, another great contrast point with the Democrats who did not want to fund historically black colleges. You know why? Because a lot of them are religious. That's why. A lot of them are religious schools. And the Democrats hate that. So they did not want to fund those institutions. Ask Wilfred Riley about this. He talks about it all the time. Wilfred Riley works at a historically black college. He teaches at one. And we've had this conversation on multiple occasions. The reason why Democrats do not want to fund historically black colleges is because many of them have a Christian or religious leaning or background or foundation and principle. They don't want anything to do with it, of course, because they just want to fund secular, typically Ivy League schools. That's what they want to do. So there's another great contrast point that Trump should do. But this was, as usual, exactly what you would have, which is a very hostile ABC News, I mean, beginning that way and just, you know, going hostile, and you hear the crowd with their jeers. But I give Trump credit for showing up. I do, because he could have bailed. He could have said no. And he goes right into the heart of the lions then. So I guess the question becomes then, when the battleground is black men, let me reference James Carville. Let me reach James Carville for a moment. Shall I? Why don't I do that? James Carville has been making the point to everybody who will listen, and he said this to Maureen Dowd back in March. He said, Democrats are losing black men because you have preachy liberal women scolding them, telling them how to live their lives. Don't eat your cheeseburgers. You got to save the planet. Eat your peas. Don't drive this car. Don't use a gas stove. And Carville talked about all that. Now, I guess the question is, if you're a black business owner, you're a black guy, you're sitting there to, you know, you own a barbershop. Black barbershops have been in the news lately. Trump's been going to those and having conversations. And MSNBC just did a focus group at one. And you hear this reporter, this female reporter on the stage going after Trump in such a hostile manner. Do you like that? Or do you turn around and go, yeah, this is exactly the problem? This is another preachy liberal woman lecturing Trump and scolding him and embarrassing him and trying to make him look bad in front of the entire country. See, I would think James Carville would interpret that just the way I did, which is that a black guy who owns a barbershop listening to that exchange thinks, here we go again, another preachy female, another preachy liberal female lecturing a guy, making him, belittling him, embarrassing him, making him feel like he's less than. And I don't think that's going to play. I really don't. I don't think that's going to play. I mean, you watch that and you go, man, this woman is downright rude to him. See, Carville's point this entire time, and of course, you know, for James Carville, he can make it and nobody calls him a sexist. Sure, if I said it, they'd say, oh, it's a sexist comment, but it's not. I mean, he's right. Men are 48% of the electorate, yet they're lectured all the time. What his point to Maureen Dowd was, I'm tired of the fact that we're told all the time that we don't matter anymore. It's all about women voters and men. How about men mattering? How about we're 48% of the vote? How about you try to talk to us a little bit? Instead, the Democrat Party is preachy. And the message is, to quote him, to quote Carville again, the message is too feminine. The message is too feminine. So then you listen to this woman come out there and just insult Trump and belittle Trump as the interview begins, as the conversation begins, and he's in person and he shows up. I don't know. I mean, as a there's a part of me as a guy, and I'm not a black guy, for at least as far as I know. I haven't traced my DNA all the way back to, you know, my ancestry.com. Of course, southern Italy, you know, was invaded by the Moors. We all know that from the movie True Romance. But I'm just saying, I watched that and I thought, this is the preachy lefty woman that Carville's talking about. But that's Kamala Harris, though. I mean, that's Kamala Harris in a nutshell. I've been making that point to you for several days now, for a week now. Kamala Harris is the preachy liberal woman that James Carville talked about. She wants to ban cheeseburgers. She wants to ban cheeseburgers. She wants to tell you how to live your life. And so I don't know. I mean, if you're going after white working class voters and you're going after working class voters who happen to be other than black, I believe the left calls them BIPOCs or some nonsense, which, again, as Carville talks about, nobody talks like this. Nobody uses terms like BIPOC. Nobody uses terms like Latinx. Nobody says these things. This is not how real people talk. Real people don't talk this way. They don't speak those kind of words. They speak English, and they call people. So you're a black working class voter. You're a white working class voter, and you're a guy. And you listen to Trump get on the stage. He's sitting down, and then this woman just goes right at him, goes right for the jugular. And look, it was a hostile event, but he was there. So I mean, I think he didn't leave. He didn't walk out and protest. One of the co-hosts of the event did, though. However, she did leave in protest. She would not be on the same stage as Trump. She refused to be there, so she left. You know, she did not have the ability to be in the same room with the man. It'd be too triggering or something like that. Some nonsense like that, I guess. Now, the other thing he did was he went after Kamala Harris's ethnic background. So this will be the other viral outrage moment of the day today. So here's what he said. Take a listen.
You believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one. I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do you believe that she is?
I think somebody should look into that too when you ask a continue in a very hostile.
You believe that Vice President?
Can you get that full exchange, Matt? I know that there's a longer version of that. Can you find that for me? Because I think that I want to get the back and forth there too. If you could, that would be great. You there?
Oh yeah, I'm there. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking for it now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is just being posted right now. So that's going to be the viral outrage of the day today, no doubt about it. And then of course the left will, and the media will pile on him for this, and they'll go after him. And we'll see how it goes. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. I don't know exactly. I guess the only question I have is what's the upside to doing an event like this when you know it's going to be so hostile and you know that it's going to be the kind of thing where they're going to just come at you? I don't know. I mean, this is the kind of thing I think between now and November, Trump's going to have to be very careful of, which is going into these situations, because they want so badly to knock him off his game. He's winning right now. And, you know, when you're winning, you don't have to subject yourself to things that could potentially cut you. I'm a big believer in that. I really am a big believer in that. I understand, you know, you get credit for being in the arena and all that. But if you're winning the campaign, if the campaign's winning, I don't know if it makes sense to go to things where you know that they're going to just come at you. And you're not even going to have the ability to have anybody there. I mean, Harris Faulkner did a decent job of trying to ask legitimate questions. But then again, the questions all went back to the usual, January 6th. And you know, you're a racist and you're a sexist and you're a, you know, I mean, just putting them in that situation when you're leading, when you're winning. I don't know if there's an upside to it. I don't. I really don't. I mean, it's kind of like putting Joe Biden on that debate stage. You don't do that if you know what I mean. Like you know it's not gonna be a home run for you. So, I don't have all the details as to why he accepted this invitation. If he really thought Kamala Harris was going to be there, and she wasn't, I mean, you know, he's there, and you give him credit for going for sure. But he's winning right now. I mean, Trump is winning as of this moment. And I reposted Matt Rooney's tweet from earlier today, and you can see it. But he's doing better right now than he was when Joe Biden was in the race. So he's actually right now doing better than he was when Joe Biden was in the race. So all the panic out there about how Kamala Harris is winning and it's a game changer and blah, blah, blah. That's not exactly true. Trump right now is in a stronger position than he was when Joe Biden was in the race, even back before the debate. Pre-debate, he's in a stronger position right now. And from the Electoral College perspective, he's also in a much stronger position than he was before Joe Biden got out of the race. So so he has not gone down. He's not lost any ground since Kamala Harris got in the race. So I guess the only question is, do you do an event that you know is just going to be just a sandbag sabotage, or do you just pass it because there's really no upside to it? I don't know, but you know, they'll have their moment and they'll attack it, and then I imagine they'll unearth some video of Kamala Harris talking about how she's Indian, and then Kamala Harris will use it to come out and say that she's black, and she's black, she's really black, and she's authentically black, and then we're going to have a conversation now about race, which again, this is not where the campaign wants to be. You want to be talking about the economy. You want to be going really hard on that right now. You want to be going on the record, and you want to be talking about the border nonstop. Then you want to stay away from the identity politics, and you want to get the hell away from all that stuff. And they obviously want to take him there, you know, so don't let him take you there. You can't, not especially not when you're winning. That's for sure. All right. We have a lot more on this for you. I also have to tell you, I don't think Josh Shapiro helps. So I don't think anybody should be worried about if Kamala Harris picks Josh Shapiro. Don't lose sleep over it. Don't worry about it. I don't think it matters whether she picks Josh Shapiro or she picks Mark Kelly or whoever else. This is going to be a ticket where you vote on the top of the ticket. My opinion, you vote on the top of the ticket. I don't think it matters who the vice president is. I think people always vote for the person who's running for president. That's how I think. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be right about that point, too. And people may like Josh Shapiro as governor. I don't think so. But if you look at the polling, if you look at the election results from 2020, where he apparently outperformed Joe Biden, even though Joe Biden, obviously, as we know, got a major assist from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. If you look at those numbers, people may say, yeah, like Josh Shapiro, but I want to keep him as governor. Don't really want to see him become vice president. So they're fine with him right where he is. I think you may see some of that. So I wouldn't lose sleep over the idea that a Josh Shapiro pick automatically gives Kamala Harris Pennsylvania. I don't see it. And I think when the scandal around Josh Shapiro and his aide and this whole thing regarding the sexual harassment lawsuit, when all that comes out, I think that's going to be very devastating to him, especially if the battle is picking up female voters. All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you would like to weigh in today. Got a lot of great stuff coming up for you. Byron Donalds, my man, Congressman Byron Donalds, will be on the show today at 3:40. So quick turnaround, we're coming right back.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
I just sent you that clip, Matt. This is Trump to a journalist who was being rude. Last clip I just sent you just a moment ago.
Give me one second. I'm pulling that
up. Sure, no problem. We've got a lot of audio. This is all coming out now from the event that just wrapped up with the black journalists. And I just want to mention, as a programming note, Byron Donalds will be on the show coming up 3:40. So I have a quick segment here. We'll do a quick turnaround. You got it?
Yep, it's ready to go.
All right, here we go.
Elephant.
I hear clicking. Sir. There we go.
A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabbit to describe
black. Actually, you know what? That's the other. You know what? Hang on a second. That's actually a different cut here. Sorry. That's a different headline here. Let's do this one. This is Trump went after the journalists. Harris Faulkner stunned, very rude reporter, called her a very rude reporter. I believe this is a different clip here. Take a listen to this one.
About, you brought up health, Harris. You're an active man. We see you golfing all the time. But if you win, you'll still be president at 82, which is older than Biden is right now.
But not mentally. Mentally.
Here's the question.
He's shot. But most people, I know many people in their 80s and their 90s that are in great shape. Some of our greatest leaders. You look at throughout the world history, the greatest leaders, some of the greatest leaders in the world were in their 80s.
But here's the question. Would you consider stepping down if you felt that your health was declining? Or would you?
Oh, absolutely.
And who would make,
I think I'd know.
How would you make that decision?
I think I'd know. Look. If I came onto a stage like this and I got treated so rudely as this woman treated me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm fine with it because she was very rude, sir. Very rude. That was a nasty. That wasn't a question. She
sir,
didn't ask me a question.
Question.
She gave a statement. That wasn't a question.
I repeated your statement,
question,
sir, actually.
You said you would.
Oh, absolutely. If I thought that I was failing in some way, I want people to be sharp. I'll go a step further. I want anybody running for president to take an aptitude test, to take a cognitive test. I think it's a great idea. And I took two of them and I aced them.
Well, can I
just... I took two of them. But let me ask.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to have people running for president. And I don't mean because they're 75 or 85. I think anybody running, I'd like to do it. People say it's not constitutional. I would like to have something passed where you...
By the way, some breaking news in New Jersey. New Jersey's ban on the AR-15 rifle is unconstitutional, but the state's cap on magazines over 10 rounds passes constitutional muster, a federal judge said Tuesday. U.S. District Judge Peter Sheridan, his 69-page opinion says he was compelled to rule as he did because of the Supreme Court's ruling in firearms cases, particularly the 2022 Bruin decision that expanded gun rights. Sheridan's ruling left both Second Amendment advocates and the state attorney general planning appeals. The judge temporarily delayed the order for 30 days. This is, again, some breaking news here. Pointing to the high court's precedents, Judge Sheridan suggested Congress and the president could do more to curb gun-related violence nationwide. He said, quote, "It is hard to accept the Supreme Court's pronouncements that certain firearms policy choices are off the table when frequently radical individuals possess and use these same firearms for evil purposes," he wrote. He then added, "Where the Supreme Court has set for the law of our nation, as a lower court, I am bound to follow it. This principle, combined with the reckless inaction of our governmental leaders to address the mass shooting tragedy afflicting our nation." First of all, Judge Sheridan, I know him personally, and I think he's a decent man, but there is not a mass shooting tragedy afflicting our nation. That is utter nonsense. The statistics absolutely do not match that up. Not even close. But nonetheless, the ban on the so-called assault weapon, the AR-15, is now at least unconstitutional. However, and this is why the president of one of the gun groups here is going to appeal, is because the judge upheld the magazine limit, which is also stupid as well. A ban on or a limit on 10 rounds, which is stupid. All right, let me take a quick break. Congressman Byron Donald, straight ahead. Don't go away. Don't count on summer heat to melt away those extra pounds. That doesn't work. But here's something that does work, and that's NJ Diet. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair, saliva, and blood work along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. No shots, no prepackaged meals, and no surgery. NJ Diet is fully supervised every step of the way to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Locations close by are available from anywhere with live online video consultations. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com. Lose the weight for good.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Let us go to Congressman Byron Donalds, the man himself, the fighter from Florida, one of the true patriots. Congressman, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining the show today. A lot to chat about. First of all, I don't know if you caught President Trump at that Black Journalist Conference that just wrapped up a few moments ago.
Yeah, I did. I caught most of it. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know that venue, it's going to be a hostile interview. It's going to be tough. They're going to come at him. I think President Trump held his ground. He pushed back hard when he needed to push back hard. But throughout all the back and forth with reporters on that stage, what was the key message? The key message was Donald Trump is going to do everything to secure our border. He's going to bring down energy prices, which is going to help bring inflation down. It's going to help bring interest rates down. And that's what working families need. That's what middle-class families need. And whether you're Black, Hispanic, or white, that's the recipe for success for our country.
Yeah, let's talk about the economy for a moment, because he made the point of saying that a lot of black jobs are being lost to illegal immigrants. And the moderator said, what are black jobs? And he said, well, they're just they're jobs. She took great offense to that. But I think he's got a great point to that. Right. I mean, a lot of people who are black are losing their jobs to illegal immigrants, just like there's some white people that are. Just depends on where you live.
Well, look, you have people on the left, on the very deep left, who are saying the same thing. They're not supporting President Trump, but they do agree with the comment and the statement that this massive illegal immigration brought to us by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, what that has done, it's actually lowering the cost of the wages available to low-skill workers in our country. Low-skill workers are black workers, also are white workers, also are Hispanic workers. It's across the board. Obviously, he's at a black journalist summit, so he mentioned black job. And even later in the interview, he talked about it in more nuance. But I think for a lot of these journalists who just want to jump on the sound bites, as opposed to actually looking at the policy and what the policy's meaning in the lives of real people. Yeah, you have illegal immigrants who are taking jobs in hospitality, in construction, and a lot of other parts of our country where you have people who do have low skills. Black, Hispanic, white are working. That does take away their jobs. The president's correct on this.
Let's talk about the border just as a whole. I mean, she's been the border czar. She's trying to run away from that. I mean, Congressman Donalds, if they try to erase her history anymore in this administration, they're going to turn out and say she was never even vice president. I mean, that's how bad it is in them trying to pretend like she had nothing to do with anything.
No, all they wanted to let people think is that she was a phenomenal vice president, even though she had the worst approval ratings for any vice president in history. But she was great. She did nothing, but she was awesome. She was given the job to secure the border. She didn't do it. And then when you actually gave her the opportunity to go out and explain basic things like space and other things like that, or school buses, she gets into these word salads that make no sense to anybody, you know. And so she's mastered the ability to give a speech or give a statement that sounds good with saying nothing at all. That's not leadership, and that's not what our country needs.
Now, let's turn to the assassination attempt of former President Trump. I know that the House passed a unanimous bipartisan task force resolution to investigate this. New video emerging now, the gunman on the roof and direct line of sight to the president while he was on the stage. I still have a ton of questions. Do you, Congressman Donalds?
I have many questions, and this is why the task force that the Speaker Johnson put together, they're really going to get to the bottom of this. This is not a time to play politics. This is a time to get answers, and whatever reforms are needed at the Secret Service, then those get done as well. But it's very concerning that Secret Service didn't really have the ability to secure that rooftop, or for whatever the reasons are, the fact that they did not secure it, something that is clearly a potential threat target to President Trump. That's a major issue, major failure. Kim Cheadle resigning, I mean, that's the least she could do. But there are serious questions that need to be answered over at Secret Service.
Yeah, and I thought yesterday that with the Senate, the acting Secret Service director, I mean, I left shaking my head, especially when he talked about the one point about decisions on security are made by a committee. Like, they sit around the break room and they chit-chat about it. I mean, that's just inexcusable.
I mean, it is inexcusable, but at the end of the day, you can make the security decisions by committee, okay, but what about the execution? What about making sure that it's actually carried out? You know, now you have local law enforcement leaking, basically saying, hey, we didn't even have any contact with Secret Service. They got there on the ground late. We didn't meet with this person. But the biggest thing overall is that I think it's irresponsible to speculate on a lot of this stuff. We need concrete answers, and that's why you know, the committee set up by Speaker Johnson is really going to be important.
You tweeted out the other day, Congressman, you said, did you know Kamala has wanted to ban fracking drilling as a presidential candidate, as a senator, as California AG and San Francisco district attorney? So here we are in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You got a huge audience in Pennsylvania listening right now. And you point out this could kill 600,000 Pennsylvania jobs. But now she's trying to walk it back.
Oh, no, listen. She's flip-flopping. But guess what? This is what Kamala Harris has done throughout her career. She flip-flops. She likes to put her finger in the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and then depending on what she needs to do, she's just going to change her position. And so you are correct. Her entire political career, she has supported banning fracking up until she's trying to get votes out of people in Pennsylvania to become president. So I would tell the people of Pennsylvania, Are you really going to trust somebody who is lying to your face about what her actual position is when you already know that Donald Trump not only supports fracking, but he wants to expand our ability to frack and actually husband our resources here in the United States for the people of the United States so prices can be low and so people can have great paying jobs? The choice is clear on this. Kamala Harris is lying only because she wants to be president. But guess what? That's what she's done her entire career.
How about banning cheeseburgers? Because I got to tell you, that's a deal breaker for a lot of people right there. I'm tired of people lecturing us, and I'm tired of people telling us how to live our lives. James Carville said that to Maureen Dowd. You know, these preachy liberals who are telling us how to eat our peas all the time, and you can't have a cheeseburger because it's bad for the earth. That's exactly who Kamala Harris is.
No, that's 100%. That's who she is. That's what she's about. She will say anything. She will do anything to get elected. I mean, look, I know people aren't paying attention to her speeches. They're just listening to news reports, basically talking about how great she is now when a month ago, literally, they were saying, oh, man, you can't trust her being at the top of the ticket. But now all of a sudden, she's the best thing since sliced bread. But if you listen to her speeches, what she's saying at these events that she's doing, she's not talking about the concrete issues facing Americans. She's not talking about that. What is she doing? She is gaslighting. She's bringing up these broad stereotypes about what Republicans want to do, which are a flat-out lie. She's basically telling people that we're not going back, we're going forward. But the truth is, what the hell does any of that even mean? She's not said anything of substance about what she's going to do, which means she's not going to change a single policy from the Biden-Harris administration. And this is the same administration that has weakened us at home. It's weakened our economy. It's weakened the purchasing power of the American people. And it's weakened America on the world stage.
You know, Congressman Byron Donalds is with me. It's great to have him in the great state of Florida, of course. I know you got to run. You got a TV hit because you're in high demand. So last question for you, and I really appreciate your time. When it comes to the issue of our national security, when it comes to the state of the world, world peace, I mean, one of the things that I think has always been I've loved about President Trump's message has always been no more wars, enough with the wars. I don't trust Kamala Harris to keep us out of World War III, Congressman.
No, I don't either. She's not going to. I don't either. Her team has always been very radical, whether it's our greatest ally, Israel, or anything else. What's she going to do to end the war in Ukraine? Nothing. More of the same, just sending good money after bad. She's not going to do anything there. What's she going to do to help Israel secure itself and actually have peace in the Middle East when she can't even sit through a speech of Bibi Netanyahu? All that does is empower the Iranians. It empowers Hamas. It empowers Hezbollah, even though they've lost their leaders today. And to be quite frankly, good riddance. But that being said, she's not going to do anything to strengthen our country. It puts our country in greater peril of actually having to deal with World War III. And at the end of the day, who's going to fight those wars? It's going to be poor black kids from the inner city. It's going to be poor Hispanic kids from the inner city, poor white kids from the inner city, rural America, etc. That's who's going to fight these wars. It ain't going to be Kamala Harris. It's going to be the young men and women of our country, and they deserve better than that.
Congressman Byron Donalds, thank you so much, sir. Enjoy the Trump rally tonight in Harrisburg. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And that's tonight at the New Holland Arena in Harrisburg, PA, 6 p.m. start. If you want to go, you can get your tickets at DonaldJTrump.com. DonaldJTrump.com if you want to go to the rally tonight. All right, so this whole thing about Kamala Harris being black is blowing up, obviously. And there's some other points that were made today during this event that the president, the former and future president, went to that are very much worth playing here that I want to share with you. First of all, he talked about the American dream and people can't buy houses. And this is the message. This is where you got to stick with the message. You got to stick with the message on this about the economy, the American dream, the border, fracking, all these things. And this is very important. Young black people don't have the American dream anymore. And he's right about that. A lot of young white people don't have it. A lot of young Hispanic people don't have it. A lot of young people just in general don't have the American dream. And a big reason for that, I'll tell you exactly what it is, can't find a house. The American dream used to be buying a starter home. And then you would wind up getting a better home as time went on. You can't even get the starter home anymore. can't afford it, first of all, and there's no inventory because people are not being able – they can't sell the starter home to get into the home right above them. So there's that. I'll play that clip for you in the 4 o'clock hour. There's a lot of great audio coming out. Plus, the question, of course, is going to be, who does Kamala Harris pick? There's another name emerging now. He's called a dark horse candidate. I'll tell you what state he's from and why people are saying he may actually be the choice. And Josh Shapiro, stalker Josh with the restraining order, Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, might just be a convenient distraction. But listen, my great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, I'll tell you what, they have an incredible sale going on right now on the very car we drive, the Zioli family. I'm talking about the Volvo XC90. It is a great car with that third row. I love it. I love driving it. I love it's the safest car in that class. Safest seven-passenger vehicle on the road, period, bar none. And it's luxurious and stylish. And right now, it can be yours with over $13,000 in discounts. $13,176 in discounts for you, for my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. You know, we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. They're our studio sponsor. They're with us every step of the way. And I'm so grateful for the fact that Cherry Hill Volvo stands with us. Because of all the Volvo dealerships in all the land, there's only one that does, and that's Cherry Hill Volvo. And they're also doing their 2024 model year markdown sale right now, which means you have the chance to get incredible savings on every other kind of Volvo, too. Listen, I've driven all of them. I've had the pleasure of driving the S-Class. You know, there's a new Volvo Black model that just came out. It's a combination of the S-Class and the Volvo XC60. So it's a beautiful hybrid between an SUV and a sedan. Gorgeous car. And Cherry Hill Volvo will take great care of you. Judith, Yosef, the entire team, ready to give you the incredible, luxurious buying experience you deserve. And they will. They will make you proud. And that's why so many people, myself included, keep coming back as customers year after year, decade after decade. And with savings of up to $13,176 off the XC90, there's never been a better time than right now to get to Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Will it be Josh? Will it be Josh Shapiro as we continue along our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Stalker Josh Shapiro. He says, we're willing to fight. We're willing to fight. Will he be Kamala Harris's VP pick? That's the question. And the announcement from the campaign that there's a rally that's going to happen next week in Philadelphia. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, well, does that mean then that it's going to be Josh Shapiro if they're having a rally in Philadelphia? Not necessarily. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that at all. They could just be doing a rally in Philadelphia. But he's already, you know, coming out and being a stalker. I'm surprised that Kamala Harris has not put a restraining order against the Pennsylvania governor at this time. He's trying so hard and so desperate. And here's his latest diatribe that he put out on social media today.
This is a commonwealth that has a unique relationship with freedom. This is a nation that's already freed itself from a king.
Come on, curse. Come on,
see,
drop
the
it.
The reason why I am optimistic is because we have been here before. And as a nation, we have always come through it. We have always gotten better. We have always gotten stronger. We have always gotten more just.
We have always gotten more just. I know where you're thinking you must. Well, how do I have this here accent considering I'm Pennsylvania? But it's Pennsylvania, the middle part where I come from.
Kamala Harris's name is going to be on that ballot. And I, for one, am going to be pushing that button. In many ways, this election isn't just about a name on the ballot. It's an election about all of us and what it is that we're willing to fight for, what it is that we're willing to work for, and what kind of future we want to build for our children and our grandchildren.
Our children's children's children. That's the question for you. Our children's 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 children. You know, I was thinking to myself how just, I mean, he put this video together. It's very well professionally produced. It's, Got lots of images, lots of ads. And if you watch it, you notice that Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is just sort of sitting there with a look on her face like, oh, my God, this guy is so over the top. He's trying so hard. I'm waiting for him to unveil the face tattoo of Kamala Harris. Kamala, I love you. I love you, Kamala. Holding the boombox over his head. In your eyes, the light, the heat. Your eyes, I am the Veep. Pretty good song right there. I have to make it a parody.
I want a future that is cleaner and greener. I want a future...
cleaner and greener and meaner like me. If I'm not picked to be the VP running mate, I'll be clean, green, and mean.
Better schools and safer streets. And I want a future with more freedom, not less. And I want a future where I can look the 47th president of the United States in the eye and say,
hey. And say, I love you with all my heart and soul. And I will take my own life if necessary to prove my worth for you. Do you want me to self-sacrifice right here, right now? I will do whatever you ask of me, my queen. Whatever you ask of me, my queen, for your kingdom.
Oh, Madam President, I hope you're with me. Let us get to work. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'm going to go goggle. Because all that yelling with a fake southern accent can cause a man to have a little bit of what they know as laryngitis here in these parts. But I digress. It's just so phony, isn't it? I mean, it's just, you listen to this and you're like, come on. Come on. Stop. You're not allowed to talk about Kamala Harris's love life. You know that, right? You're not allowed to talk about Willie Brown. Apparently if you do that, that's a terrible, terrible thing because it's sexist to talk about somebody's love life. It's weird because Donald Trump was literally on trial for his love life. They tried to put him in prison over it, his alleged love life. But if you talk about Kamala Harris's love life, that's sexist. You try to put Trump in prison for his love life, that's acceptable, and you should use the full power of the court system and the judicial system and try to put him away. But if you bring up Kamala Harris and Willie Brown, now you're just being a sexist pick. Okay? I hope you understand the distinction there. Obviously. As a young prosecutor, Kamala Harris was gifted a BMW with lavish trips to Paris. Hope she didn't swim in that filthy river. And the Oscars. She was taken to the Oscars by a much older lover who also jump-started her meteoric rise in California politics. The current vice president famously had a relationship with Democrat Party kingmaker Willie Brown in 1994 when she was 29 and he was 60, and when he was serving as Speaker of the California Assembly. Over the course of their relationship, Brown gave Harris a BMW. She traveled with him to Paris, attended the Academy Awards, and he even took her on a business trip to Boston, where he was meeting Donald Trump. According to the 2021 book, Kamala's Way, An American Life, by journalist Dean Moran. Their relationship was well known in San Francisco, with the Chronicle describing Harris as, quote, the speaker's new steady. Well, of course, that's the far right wing San Francisco Chronicle, so you'd expect nothing less. And the far right wing Los Angeles Times calling Harris Brown's, quote, frequent companion, close quote. In November 1994, as his term as speaker was ending, Brown appointed Harris, who was then working in the Alameda County District Attorney's Office, to the California Medical Assistance Commission, a job which paid $72,000 a year and required attending monthly meetings. Brown, who's now 90, is also taking credit for helping in Harris's meteoric political rise. Last week, he joined the chorus of prominent Democratic Party members who have already endorsed her for president before next month's Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Yes, we dated, said Brown, who was also a two-term mayor of San Francisco. He wrote a 2019 opinion piece. He said, yes, I may have influenced her career by appointing her to two state commissions when I was the assembly speaker. And I certainly helped with her first race for district attorney in San Francisco. She was elected the city's top cop in 2003. 7 years later, in 2010, she was elected state attorney general. She was reelected to the post in 2014 before taking office as the U.S. junior senator from California in 2017. It was a crowning achievement for her daughter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Let us go to Congressman Byron Donalds, the man himself, the fighter from Florida, one of the true patriots. Congressman, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining the show today. A lot to chat about. First of all, I don't know if you caught President Trump at that Black Journalist Conference that just wrapped up a few moments ago.
Yeah, I did. I caught most of it. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know that venue, it's going to be a hostile interview. It's going to be tough. They're going to come at him. I think President Trump held his ground. He pushed back hard when he needed to push back hard. But throughout all the back and forth with reporters on that stage, what was the key message? The key message was Donald Trump is going to do everything to secure our border. He's going to bring down energy prices, which is going to help bring inflation down. It's going to help bring interest rates down. And that's what working families need. That's what middle-class families need. And whether you're Black, Hispanic, or white, that's the recipe for success for our country.
Yeah, let's talk about the economy for a moment, because he made the point of saying that a lot of Black jobs are being lost to illegal immigrants. And the moderator said, what are Black jobs? And he said, well, they're jobs. She took great offense to that. But I think he's got a great point to that. Right. I mean, a lot of people who are Black are losing their jobs to illegal immigrants, just like there's some white people that are. Just depends on where you live.
Well, look, you have people on the left, on the very deep left, who are saying the same thing. They're not supporting President Trump, but they do agree with the comment and the statement that this massive illegal immigration brought to us by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, what that has done, it's actually lowering the cost of the wages available to low-skill workers in our country. Low-skill workers are black workers, also are white workers, also are Hispanic workers. It's across the board. Obviously, he's at a black journalist summit, so he mentioned black job. And even later in the interview, he talked about it in more nuance. But I think for a lot of these journalists who just want to just, you know, jump on the sound bites as opposed to actually looking at the policy and what the policy's meaning in the lives of real people. Yeah, you have illegal immigrants who are taking jobs in hospitality and construction and a lot of other parts of our country where you have people who have who do have low skills. Black, Hispanic, white are working. That does take away their jobs. The president's correct on this.
Let's talk about the border just as a whole. I mean, she's been the border czar. She's trying to run away from that. I mean, Congressman Donalds, if they try to erase her history anymore in this administration, they're going to turn out and say she was never even vice president. I mean, that's how bad it is in them trying to pretend like she had nothing to do with anything.
No, all they wanted to let people think is that she was a phenomenal vice president, even though she had the worst approval ratings for any vice president in history. But she was great. She did nothing, but she was awesome. She was given the job to secure the border. She didn't do it. And then when you actually gave her the opportunity to go out and explain basic things like space and other things like that, or school buses, she gets into these word salads that make no sense to anybody, you know, and so she's mastered the ability to give a speech or give a statement that sounds good with saying nothing at all. That's not leadership, and that's not what our country needs.
Now, let's turn to the assassination attempt of former President Trump. I know that the House passed a unanimous bipartisan task force resolution to investigate this. New video emerging now, the gunman on the roof and direct line of sight to the president while he was on the stage. I still have a ton of questions. Do you, Congressman Donalds?
I have many questions, and this is why the task force that the Speaker Johnson put together, they're really going to get to the bottom of this. This is not a time to play politics. This is a time to get answers, and whatever reforms are needed at the Secret Service, then those get done as well. But it's very concerning that Secret Service didn't really have the ability to secure that rooftop, or for whatever the reasons are, the fact that they did not secure it, something that is clearly a potential threat target to President Trump. That's a major issue, major failure. Kim Cheadle resigning, I mean, that's the least she could do. But there are serious questions that need to be answered over at Secret Service.
Yeah, and I thought yesterday that with the Senate, the guy who, the acting Secret Service director, I mean, I left shaking my head, especially when he talked about the one point about decisions on security are made by a committee, like they sit around the break room and they chit-chat about it. I mean, that's just inexcusable.
I mean, it is inexcusable, but at the end of the day, you can make the security decisions by committee, okay, but what about the execution? What about making sure that it's actually carried out? You know, now you have local law enforcement leaking, basically saying, hey, we didn't even have any contact with Secret Service. They got there on the ground late. We didn't meet with this person. But the biggest thing overall is I think it's irresponsible to speculate on a lot of this stuff. We need concrete answers, and that's why you know, the committee set up by Speaker Johnson is really going to be important.
You tweeted out the other day, Congressman, you said, did you know Kamala has wanted to ban fracking drilling as a presidential candidate, as a senator, as California AG and San Francisco district attorney? So here we are in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You got a huge audience in Pennsylvania listening right now. And you point out this could kill 600,000 Pennsylvania jobs. But now she's trying to walk it back.
Oh, no, listen. She's flip-flopping, but guess what? This is what Kamala Harris has done throughout her career. She flip-flops. She likes to put her finger in the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and then depending on what she needs to do, she's just going to change her position. And so you are correct. Her entire political career, she has supported banning fracking up until she's trying to get votes out of people in Pennsylvania to become president. So I would tell the people of Pennsylvania, are you really going to trust somebody who is lying to your face about what her actual position is when you already know that Donald Trump not only supports fracking, but he wants to expand our ability to frack and actually husband our resources here in the United States for the people of the United States so prices can be low and so people can have great paying jobs? The choice is clear on this. Kamala Harris is lying only because she wants to be president. But guess what? That's what she's done her entire career.
How about banning cheeseburgers? Because I got to tell you, that's a deal breaker for a lot of people right there. I'm tired of people lecturing us, and I'm tired of people telling us how to live our lives. James Carville said that to Maureen Dowd. You know, these preachy liberals who are telling us how to eat our peas all the time, and you can't have a cheeseburger because it's bad for the earth. That's exactly who Kamala Harris is.
No, that's 100%. That's who she is. That's what she's about. She will say anything. She will do anything to get elected. I mean, look, I know people aren't paying attention to her speeches. They're just listening to news reports, basically talking about how great she is now, when a month ago, literally, they were saying, oh, man, you can't trust her being at the top of the ticket. But now, all of a sudden, she's the best thing since sliced bread. But if you listen to her speeches, what she's saying at these events that she's doing, she's not talking about the concrete issues facing Americans. She's not talking about that. What is she doing? She is gaslighting. She's bringing up these broad stereotypes about what Republicans want to do, which are a flat-out lie. She's basically telling people that we're not going back, we're going forward. But the truth is, what the hell does any of that even mean? She's not said anything of substance about what she's going to do, which means she's not going to change a single policy from the Biden-Harris administration. And this is the same administration that has weakened us at home, it's weakened our economy, it's weakened the purchasing power of the American people, and it's weakened America on the world stage.
You know, Congressman Byron Donalds is with me. It's great to have him in the great state of Florida, of course. I know you got to run. You got a TV hit because you're in high demand. So last question for you, and I really appreciate your time. When it comes to the issue of our national security, when it comes to the state of the world, world peace, I mean, one of the things that I think has always been I've loved about President Trump's message has always been no more wars, enough with the wars. I don't trust Kamala Harris to keep us out of World War III, Congressman.
No, I don't either. She's not going to. I don't either. Her team has always been very radical, whether it's our greatest ally, Israel, or anything else. What's she going to do to end the war in Ukraine? Nothing. More of the same, just sending good money after bad. She's not going to do anything there. What's she going to do to help Israel secure itself and actually have peace in the Middle East when she can't even sit through a speech of Bibi Netanyahu? All that does is empower the Iranians. It empowers Hamas. It empowers Hezbollah, even though they've lost their leaders today. And to be quite frankly, good riddance. But that being said, she's not going to do anything to strengthen our country. It puts our country in greater peril of actually having to deal with World War III. And at the end of the day, who's going to fight those wars? It's going to be poor black kids from the inner city. It's going to be poor Hispanic kids from the inner city, poor white kids from the inner city, rural America, etc. That's who's going to fight these wars. It ain't going to be Kamala Harris. It's going to be the young men and women of our country, and they deserve better than that.
Congressman Byron Donalds, thank you so much, sir. Enjoy the Trump rally tonight in Harrisburg. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And that's tonight at the New Holland Arena in Harrisburg, PA, 6 p.m. start. If you want to go, you can get your tickets at DonaldJTrump.com. DonaldJTrump.com if you want to go to the rally tonight. All right, so this whole thing about Kamala Harris being black is blowing up, obviously. And there's some other points that were made today during this event that the president, the former and future president, went to that are very much worth playing here that I want to share with you. First of all, he talked about the American dream and people can't buy houses. And this is the message. This is where you got to stick with the message. You got to stick with the message on this about the economy, the American dream, the border, fracking, all these things. And this is very important. Young black people don't have the American dream anymore. And he's right about that. A lot of young white people don't have it. A lot of young Hispanic people don't have it. A lot of young people just in general don't have the American dream. And a big reason for that, I'll tell you exactly what it is, can't find a house. The American dream used to be buying a starter home. And then you would wind up getting a better home as time went on. You can't even get the starter home anymore. Can't afford it, first of all. And there's no inventory because people are not being able, they can't sell the starter home to get into the home right above them. So there's that. I'll play that clip for you in the 4 o'clock hour. There's a lot of great audio coming out. Plus, the question, of course, is going to be, who does Kamala Harris pick? There's another name emerging now. He's called a dark horse candidate. I'll tell you what state he's from. and why people are saying he may actually be the choice. And Josh Shapiro, stalker Josh with the restraining order, Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, might just be a convenient distraction. But listen, my great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, I'll tell you what, they have an incredible sale going on right now on the very car we drive, the Zioli family. I'm talking about the Volvo XC90. It is a great car with that third row. I love it. I love driving it. I love it's the safest car in that class. Safest seven-passenger vehicle on the road, period, bar none. And it's luxurious and stylish. And right now, it can be yours with over $13,000 in discounts. $13,176 in discounts for you, for my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. You know, we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. They're our studio sponsor. They're with us every step of the way. And I'm so grateful for the fact that Cherry Hill Volvo stands with us. Because of all the Volvo dealerships in all the land, there's only one that does, and that's Cherry Hill Volvo. And they're also doing their 2024 model year markdown sale right now, which means you have the chance to get incredible savings on every other kind of Volvo, too. Listen, I've driven all of them. I've had the pleasure of driving the S-Class. You know, there's a new Volvo Black model that just came out. It's a combination of the S-Class and the Volvo XC60. So it's a beautiful hybrid between an SUV and a sedan. Gorgeous car. And Cherry Hill Volvo will take great care of you. Judith, Yosef, the entire team, ready to give you the incredible, luxurious buying experience you deserve. And they will. They will make you proud. And that's why so many people, myself included, keep coming back as customers year after year, decade after decade. Now, with savings of up to $13,176 off the XC90, there's never been a better time than right now to get to Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Will it be Josh? Will it be Josh Shapiro as we continue along our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Stalker Josh Shapiro. He says, we're willing to fight. We're willing to fight. Will he be Kamala Harris's VP pick? That's the question. And the announcement from the campaign that there's a rally that's going to happen next week in Philadelphia. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, well, does that mean then that it's going to be Josh Shapiro if they're having a rally in Philadelphia? Not necessarily. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that at all. They could just be doing a rally in Philadelphia. But he's already, you know, coming out and being a stalker. I'm surprised that Kamala Harris has not put a restraining order against the Pennsylvania governor at this time. He's trying so hard and so desperate. And here's his latest diatribe that he put out on social media today.
This is a commonwealth that has a unique relationship with freedom. This is a nation that's already freed itself from a king.
Come on, curse. Come on,
see,
drop
the
it.
The reason why I am optimistic is because we have been here before. And as a nation, we have always come through it. We have always gotten better. We have always gotten stronger. We have always gotten more just.
We have always gotten more just. I know where you're thinking you must. Well, how do I have this here accent considering I'm Pennsylvania? But it's Pennsylvania, the middle part where I come from.
Kamala Harris's name is going to be on that ballot. And I, for one, am going to be pushing that button. In many ways, this election isn't just about a name on the ballot. It's an election about all of us and what it is that we're willing to fight for, what it is that we're willing to work for, and what kind of future we want to build for our children and our grandchildren.
Our children's children's children. That's the question for you. Our children's 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 children. You know, I was thinking to myself how just, I mean, he put this video together. It's very well professionally produced. It's got lots of images, lots of ads. And if you watch it, you notice that Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is just sort of sitting there with a look on her face like, oh, my God, this guy is so over the top. He's trying so hard. I'm waiting for him to unveil the face tattoo of Kamala Harris. Kamala, I love you. I love you, Kamala, holding the boombox over his head. In your eyes, the light, the heat, your eyes, I am the Veep. Pretty good song right there. I have to make it a parody.
I want a future that is cleaner and greener. I want a future...
cleaner and greener and meaner like me. If I'm not picked to be the VP running mate, I'll be clean, green, and mean.
Better schools and safer streets. And I want a future with more freedom, not less. And I want a future where I can look the 47th president of the United States in the eye and say,
hey. And say, I love you with all my heart and soul. And I will take my own life if necessary to prove my worth for you. Do you want me to self-sacrifice right here, right now? I will do whatever you ask of me, my queen. Whatever you ask of me, my queen, for your kingdom.
Oh, Madam President, I hope you're with me. Let us get to work. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'm going to go goggle. Because all that yelling with a fake southern accent can cause a man to have a little bit of what they know as laryngitis here in these parts. But I digress. It's just so phony, isn't it? I mean, it's just, you listen to this and you're like, come on. Come on. Stop. You're not allowed to talk about Kamala Harris's love life. You know that, right? You're not allowed to talk about Willie Brown. Apparently, if you do that, that's a terrible, terrible thing because it's sexist to talk about somebody's love life. It's weird because Donald Trump was literally on trial for his love life. They tried to put him in prison over it, his alleged love life. But if you talk about Kamala Harris's love life, that's sexist. You try to put Trump in prison for his love life, that's acceptable, and you should use the full power of the court system and the judicial system and try to put him away. But if you bring up Kamala Harris and Willie Brown, now you're just being a sexist pick. Okay? I hope you understand the distinction there. Obviously. As a young prosecutor, Kamala Harris was gifted a BMW with lavish trips to Paris. Hope she didn't swim in that filthy river. And the Oscars. She was taken to the Oscars by a much older lover who also jump-started her meteoric rise in California politics. The current vice president famously had a relationship with Democrat Party kingmaker Willie Brown in 1994 when she was 29 and he was 60, and when he was serving as Speaker of the California Assembly. Over the course of their relationship, Brown gave Harris a BMW. She traveled with him to Paris, attended the Academy Awards, and he even took her on a business trip to Boston, where he was meeting Donald Trump. According to the 2021 book, Kamala's Way, An American Life, by journalist Dean Moran. Their relationship was well known in San Francisco, with the Chronicle describing Harris as, quote, the speaker's new steady. Well, of course, that's the far right wing San Francisco Chronicle, so you'd expect nothing less. And the far right wing Los Angeles Times calling Harris Brown's, quote, frequent companion, close quote. In November 1994, as his term as speaker was ending, Brown appointed Harris, who was then working in the Alameda County District Attorney's Office, to the California Medical Assistance Commission, a job which paid $72,000 a year and required attending monthly meetings. Brown, who's now 90, is also taking credit for helping in Harris's meteoric political rise. Last week, he joined the chorus of prominent Democratic Party members who have already endorsed her for president before next month's Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Yes, we dated, said Brown, who was also a two-term mayor of San Francisco. He wrote a 2019 opinion piece. He said, yes, I may have influenced her career by appointing her to two state commissions when I was the assembly speaker. And I certainly helped with her first race for district attorney in San Francisco. She was elected the city's top cop in 2003. 7 years later, in 2010, she was elected state attorney general. She was reelected to the post in 2014 before taking office as the U.S. junior senator from California in 2017. It was a crowning achievement for her daughter of Indian and Jamaican immigrants who grew up in a broken home with her younger sister, Maya. Her parents, who moved between California and the Midwest, were locked in a bitter 3-year divorce war, which tore their young family apart. Her mother, Shamalaya Gopalan, Shamalama Ding Dong is a song, not a name. And I'm not pronouncing the name right. I fully acknowledge that. I mean no disrespect to Shamalama Ding Dong Gopalan. I just can't pronounce names very well. Filed for divorce from her father, Donald, a leftist economist from Jamaica. Imagine that's how you're known, as a leftist economist from Jamaica. She was 8 years old and her sister Maya was six. The early phase of interaction with my children came to an abrupt halt when, after a hard-fought custody battle, the context of the relationship was placed within arbitrary limits imposed by the court. It was a court-ordered divorce settlement, and it was based on the false assumption by the state of California that fathers cannot handle parenting. You know, I was thinking about the little thing with Willie Brown here. The document reveals a lot of minutiae about the split and everything that went on with her life and her family, and it's kind of boring. But then you get into the whole thing about her relationship with Willie Brown, and you go, wow. Wow. She got very, very lucky. She got lucky to meet him. I mean, I'm serious about that. There are people in your life who are your guardians. They help you. They help you get to places. And you help them in return in various different ways. Willie Brown was that guy. I'm just saying, he was that guy for her. He said the following, this was his piece. Sure, I dated Kamala Harris, so what? I've been peppered with calls from the national media about my relationship with Kamala Harris, particularly since it became obvious that she was going to run for president. Most of the calls I have not returned. Yes, we dated. It was more than 20 years ago. Yes, I may have influenced her career by appointing her to two state commissions when I was assembly speaker. And I certainly helped with her first race for district attorney in San Francisco. I have also helped the careers of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But did you sleep with her? I mean, if you did, that's really disgusting. Because you've slept with a vampiric one. You slept with, I'm not saying he did, I'm saying if he did. Governor Gavin Newsom, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and a host of other politicians. The question, of course, is, did you have relations with them? Look, I don't particularly care what people do in their private life. Except for the fact that they literally tried to destroy Donald Trump over his romantic interludes, alleged, and then trying to keep those interludes from becoming public. Think about that. He did not want people to know about the allegations of Stormy Daniels. So there was money paid to keep her quiet. And they literally are trying to put the man in prison. To this day, they're trying to put the man in prison to this day over that issue. Okay? We can't talk about Willie Brown and Kamala Harris and how Willie Brown helped Kamala Harris get to where she is in California politics, where she was, which would ultimately put her on the national path. We can't discuss that because to do so makes you sexist. I, for one, find it to be infuriating that they can try to put Donald Trump in prison over an alleged affair. But with Kamala Harris, if you even bring it up, you are shot down, you're mocked, you're told that you are a pig, and you cannot bring it up. Why? Why not? Why can't you have the conversation about Kamala Harris's relationships? Why can't you talk about it? I'm just saying. Speaking of Josh Shapiro, by the way, there's a real question of whether or not, and the caller alluded to this yesterday, whether or not Josh Shapiro's sexual harassment response to a top aide could be a huge problem for Kamala Harris. So Gretchen Carlson was talking about this issue. And as I think about this, and the caller was right to bring it up yesterday, how Josh Shapiro responded could keep him from becoming the potential VP pick, even with the face tattoo and the I Heart Kamala tattoo on his,
that would
on
be
his
electric.
Arm.
How do you see that?
Well, you know, there's a little known story about Governor Shapiro that's starting to gain some traction. And it happened last year when his top aide was accused of sexual harassment of a subordinate. And there were criticisms about the governor's response to this and the fact that it took so long for him to actually say much about it, or in fact for this aide to resign. Meantime, the woman, of course, was pushed out. And I think in 2024, I would know something about this after mm-hmm. suing Fox News and Roger Ailes for harassment back in 2016. You know, this doesn't cut it in 2024 anymore. You can't put these stories under the carpet and expect to not have people talk about them. So Governor Shapiro, in my mind, should let that woman out of her non-disclosure agreement tonight, tomorrow, and possibly put out a press statement about how he maybe should have handled it slightly different. He's never actually said anything about the aide as far as any kind of criticism. And when you're running with a female candidate at the top of the ticket and you are looking for the female votes, mm-hmm. this story could become a much bigger problem, speaking of vetting.
And he wasn't...
Yeah, it's an excellent point she makes. It's an excellent, excellent point. And something that could certainly derail Josh Shapiro's ability to become the VP pick. But again, you know, the real question is, if he keeps yelling and cursing and acting like a Southern Baptist preacher, will that overcome all those things? Why is this not a bigger story about this aide and this woman and the sexual harassment allegation? Why is it not a bigger story? The answer is because he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. Again, we'll try to put Donald Trump in prison over non-disclosure agreements. We'll try to literally throw away the key and put him in prison. But with Josh Shapiro, there's an active non-disclosure agreement with this woman, an active NDA, and we won't talk about it. The corporate media won't talk about it. They'll cover it up for Josh Shapiro. They'll pretend like it never happened for Josh Shapiro. That's what they'll do because he's a Democrat and they're all rooting for him to possibly become the vice presidential pick. So they'll leave all of that alone. They won't touch it. They won't talk any of that. They won't bring it up. They won't discuss it at all. They'll just leave it alone. And this poor woman who can't say anything is not allowed to say a word about this. And that's the way it goes. So you see how this works? You see how this works? That double standard there when it comes to non-disclosure agreements? I think you do. All right, we got a lot more to get to as we continue our fourth and final hour before I turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin. Polling data shows Donald Trump is actually in a stronger position now than he was when Joe Biden was the candidate. So everybody take a deep breath and relax. Also, James O'Keefe has an undercover video, excuse me, exposing how the Democrats actually think Kamala Harris is a terrible candidate, because Kamala Harris is a terrible candidate. We'll be right back. I had a wonderful call today with the great one, Mark Levin. He reached out to me on something, and it was really nice to talk to him. I'll tell you what, he's the best. He really is the best. He's the best in talk radio. There's no question about it. There's simply no one better than him when it comes to this genre, this craft. And that man has done more for me. He has done more to promote my show and build my audience and build the Zeoli Army than any other person in all of media. I mean, he's a saint. And he got me into this business. He's the reason why I'm behind this microphone, because back in 2005, when his book Men in Black came out, he came to an event when I was a Republican county chairman, spoke at that event, and then took me under his wing. And he's a fantastic guy, and he's a fighter. And thank God he's there. I really am so grateful that he is on the radio across this country, and his podcast too, which I absolutely hope you subscribe to and listen to, as I certainly do. And he'll be up next, of course, but it was really nice to chat with him today. He's committed to fighting the fight. He's committed to fighting for our freedom, and he's committed to fighting for this country and to save the Constitution and to stop the Democrats from destroying this country. He's committed to those things. And you're not going to find, in my opinion, anyone on talk radio who has that level of commitment. He's just that good. I also got a call today from Mama Zeoli. She's in town. Mama Zeoli and Papa Zeoli are in town. My daughter Claire has a play. And she was talking about, well, right after college, I was doing a bunch of temp jobs. I wasn't ready to start officially working yet. I kind of knew what I wanted to do, but I wasn't exactly sure which path. There were two pathways I wanted to go. And so I was taking a little time, and she made this comment about, I didn't spend $100,000 for my son to become a receptionist, because I was doing a temp job as a receptionist. I know. And I joke with her now because literally that's what I kind of am. When I take calls, if I took more calls, I really would be a receptionist. I think it's part of the reason why I don't take more calls is because that, what Mama Zioli said to me, that stung that day. And I think if I take more calls, then I will be a receptionist. And that's probably the reason why I just wind up talking so much. So now you know a little bit of personal insight into the story of how I got here today, why I'm behind this microphone, and why I try very hard to avoid phone calls. I'm just kidding. I love phone calls. I do. I love when we have great chats and great conversations. It just, a lot of times what happens is we start rolling and then next thing you know, show's over. But I tell you, I believe truly that Kamala Harris is a terrible candidate. So I just want to share this interesting point with you that I tweeted out earlier today. My buddy Matt Rooney, he's a rising star in talk radio. Matt Rooney is fantastic. If you don't listen to him on Sunday nights, you're missing out. At 48.1% nationally, Trump is actually at his highest level this cycle in the Real Clear Politics average. Harris is currently behind Biden's May 2024 position. The race ain't over yet. Not even close. The race has a long way to go. And so Donald Trump was asked the question, you know, would you rather run against Kamala Harris or Joe Biden? That was the question that he was asked. And this is what he said.
Pushing for debates with you, yeah. It went down in flames for them last time, but they think this is they're going to get you. So you've been kind of a little unclear about whether you're going to debate or not. Will you commit tonight to debating Kamala
Harris? I like debating. I've done a lot of debates and I've won the debates. I think they say I won the election because of that. I don't mind. They were pushing for this early debate. I said, why do we want to do an early debate? It didn't make sense to me. It turned out I was right, but for the wrong reasons, right? I want to do a debate, but I also can say this. Everybody knows who I am, and now people know.
Let me say on the point about the early debate, I think it was a mistake for him to do the early debate because Joe Biden obviously is out of the race. And I told you, and I've been saying this for months, I thought the debate was a setup by the Democrats to get him out of the race. And that's proven true. Again, I'm not saying this to give myself a pat on the back. I'm saying this because your time is precious and valuable. I don't want to waste it. You can never get your time back. You invest your time in this program. I appreciate it. I want to make sure you get something out of it every single day. I put my heart and soul into this show. 5 days a week, many weeks. Some weeks, not 5 days, but you get the point. And for months, I was saying the debate was a setup. Why are we doing a debate in June? I said that 3 days before the debate on Fox News. Why are we doing a debate in June? Got the kids at summer camp. Nobody's paying attention typically in politics in the summer. This was a setup to get Joe Biden out of the race. But that said, I still think Trump beats Kamala Harris. Would I have preferred it if Joe Biden had been the candidate? Yes. No question about it. And if that debate in June had not happened, don't think for a second that something else would not have occurred. See, this is why I've gotten a few tweets from people who've said, Rich, Trump should not have done that debate. Okay, I don't disagree with you, but if they wanted Biden out, they would have set something else up to get him out of the race. In other words, if it wasn't going to be the debate, it would have been something else that would have shown America his mental decline, that would have forced them to all have that come to Jesus moment that they all had after the debate, which was, again, also a setup. I mean, the whole thing was a setup. The whole thing was a con, all right? It was their Lufthansa heist. I said this on Jimmy Fallon's show on Fox News Saturday night. I said this right after the debate. This was their Lufthansa heist to get him out of the race. And it worked. But if it hadn't been the debate, it would have been something else. After the debate, during the debate, the Democrats, all these people who, you know, 24 hours early were telling us Joe Biden was a rock star, all coming out and going, this man has to leave the race. It was all set up. It was all preordained. Barack Obama was behind all of it. Barack Obama threatened people. Seymour Hersh exposing that. Barack Obama threatened Biden. And I know what he used. He used the Hunter Biden laptop. He used the Ukrainian corruption that's all there to get Joe Biden out of the race. I'm 100% convinced of it. No doubt in my mind about that. So something else would have occurred to show America how bad Joe Biden's cognitive decline is that would have led to them having the exact same reaction. So don't hold the debate against the Trump team too much, because if it wasn't that, it would have been something else. Joe Biden was destined to leave this race. Let me say it again. Joe Biden was destined to leave this race. He was never going to be the candidate. I told you this back in October of 2023. After David Axelrod went on that tweet storm at the Obama get-together weekend, I said to you, he's done. He will not be the nominee. They will stop him from being the candidate. Joe Biden will not be the nominee. It was preordained. He was going to lose, and they were going to take him out. And I'm telling you now, and I'm standing by this, if they believe Kamala Harris loses, they will take her out too. These people will stop at nothing to stop Donald Trump from getting a second term. Nothing. They don't care. And they don't care if they upset woke. They don't give a damn. It's all about winning for them. That's it. Period. It's about winning. There's nothing else they care about than stopping Donald Trump from becoming the president of the United States of America. Because they're terrified of what he'll do in a second term. They're terrified of it. By the way, CNN's Harry Enten, also very excited for the stalker Josh Shapiro. Very excited that Josh Shapiro could become the VP choice of Kamala Harris. And I just have to say to Harry Enten, what about the sexual harassment scandal? Does that change anything for you? I'm just curious. Does it change anything for you? He's very hyped up. He did this whole thing on CNN about this and how Josh Shapiro would be the best pick. He went on very excited about it. Personally, I don't think it matters who Kamala Harris picks. I still don't think people vote on the vice presidential pick. I don't. I still think people vote on something else. They vote on the top of the ticket. Even as crazy as this election cycle is, I still don't think that that is what drives people, who the vice presidential pick is. What drives people, in my opinion, without question, is the candidate who's running for president.
Whoever she picks up as her running mate could help give her the edge. The pool of VP candidates is starting to thin out now as of this morning, and I guess it should because they're kind of out of time. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer saying she's not part of the vetting process. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper withdrawing himself from the candidate pool just last night. That is where CNN's Harry Enten comes in. Talk to me about these VP candidates and some of the top candidates, if you will, how they do electorally in their states.
Yeah, so, you know, nationally, a lot of these guys aren't particularly well known. So I think it's important to look at their home states, the people who know them best, to get an understanding, of how popular these guys can potentially be. So this is how much they outperformed Biden's 2020 margin in their last election. All these guys ran in 2022. And the one name that just stands out on this list is Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania. Look at this. He outperformed Biden by 14 points. My goodness gracious. Look how large that is. Sometimes I think an answer is just staring you straight in the face. And in this particular case, Josh Shapiro is looking at you right in the face. Look, Mark Kelly's not too bad either, right? He outperformed Biden by 5 points. And keep in mind, he was running in a federal race, which isn't quite apples and apples, right, with a gubernatorial statewide race. But still, 5 points, not bad. Outran all the other Democrats in Arizona. Tim Walz, who seems to have been picking up some sort of momentum on social media. But look at this. He only outperformed Biden by 0.6 points. Very much on a different planet than, let's say, a Josh Shapiro, who's the clear runaway winner on this particular metric.
Is there proof that the VP candidate can help him carry a state?
No.
Right. So we look at all of this, right? We go, okay, what does this exactly mean? There is one proven effect for a VP, right? And it is, in fact, this home state effect. Look, it's not necessarily particularly large. It's 0.5 to 2 points on average added to their running mate's margin compared to the baseline. But you know how close
elections. I was going to say, that's how much the
this, this is the whole ball game. I mean, Pennsylvania last time was decided by 1.2 points. You look at Arizona, it was decided by 0.3 points. If you're able to add 0.5 to 2 points, that could all of a sudden help you capture a state like Arizona or Pennsylvania.
All right, let's stop it right there for a second. Let's break that down and think about that. He's not wrong, by the way, because I've told you for a long time now, we don't have a national election for president. It's not a national election. It's 50 elections that all happen on the same day, although they happen on earlier days. And you get the point. The point is that it's 50 different elections. And we're talking about 6-7 states, and that's it. All the other states are decided, and that's just the way it is. The ball game is Pennsylvania. The ball game is Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada. And I'm telling you, and North Carolina. Trump wins Georgia. Trump wins North Carolina. I believe Trump wins Arizona and Nevada. But clearly, a Mark Kelly pick could help a little bit in that state. I think Trump wins Pennsylvania. I don't think Josh Shapiro helps Kamala Harris win Pennsylvania, and I'll tell you the reason why. And it's the same thing with Mark Kelly in his home state, too. I'll tell you the reason why I think Harry Enten and CNN is wrong. They may like Josh Shapiro as governor. People may have voted for him as governor. It's a very big difference, though, to vote for him as vice president or to vote for her as president to get him as vice president. People like candidates in certain positions. It doesn't always translate. Chris Christie is a great example of that. You know, Chris Christie was a very popular governor in New Jersey while he was there. And then when he left, his popularity torpedoed, cratered, and he had no support for president. People could like somebody as their governor, but not want them to be the president or not want them to be on the presidential ticket. Or say, look, I like the guy as governor. I want him to stay as governor. Keep him as governor. He's doing a good job as governor. I don't want him to be the VP. I don't need him going to Washington. That's also another real possibility that you have to factor in here. And I don't know why, if people like Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, let's assume they do for a moment, that says, okay, that I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris, even though I don't like her policies and I don't like the direction the country's going under Biden-Harris. But because Josh Shapiro's part of the mix, I'm going to just give them another 4 years to give us the economic chaos that we have, the border chaos that we have. I'm going to give them another 4 years because I like Josh Shapiro as my governor. See, I don't think that translates. I don't. I really don't. Yeah, I mean, you could love a guy playing for the Phillies and not want him to play for the Eagles because he'd be a terrible football player. You see what I mean? Like you could love, I don't know, Aaron Nola, but say I don't want him to play a quarterback for the Eagles. It'd be a freaking disaster. So it doesn't always translate. You take the most popular, like Jalen Hurts. Like, yeah, I love Jalen Hurts. Great quarterback. He should stay as quarterback of the Eagles. I don't want him, just because I like him as quarterback of the Eagles, I don't want him becoming mayor of Philadelphia, or I don't want him becoming governor or president. This happens all the time. We've seen celebrities who were beloved run for office and get destroyed. And we've seen governors and senators who were very popular lose their own states. Because people were like, look, I liked him as governor. I just don't want him to be president. So I don't really agree with the idea that it brings that much. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'll be proven wrong here, but that's my analysis of it. That's how I view it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.